From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, we'll visit the Book Expo America New York, a book lover's paradise. But first, Google's Motorola Mobility smartphone unit will shut down its Fort Worth factory by the end of 2014. KERA's Lauren Silverman reports the announcement comes barely a year after it opened as the first smartphone plant in the United States.
A big part of the sales pitch for Motorola's flagship handset, the Moto X, was that it was American-made, the only smartphone to be assembled in the U.S. But sales of the phone, according to a Motorola spokesman, were too weak and the costs of running the plant too high to keep operations going.
I can't say I was surprised. I was disappointed.
Chris Davies is executive editor with SlashGear.com.
I think Motorola's plans were ambitious. I don't think it was ever going to sell enough Moto X devices to warrant the kind of investment that manufacturing in the US would require.
The problem, Davies says, isn't the phone.
It's a very good phone. The user experience itself was very, very good.
The small, compact device has Google Now integration, so you can set it on the desk and speak to it without touching any buttons. Still, Davies says it was up against some big names and marketing budgets with Apple and Samsung.
The smartphone industry is very low margins, and you get the best bang for your buck, I would imagine, if you outsource everything to other countries.
So the factory that employs about 700 people in Fort Worth will close by the end of this year. A Motorola spokesperson declined to comment on whether or not those workers will keep their jobs. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
With the clock ticking, the Dallas School Board this afternoon began the process of picking those who would write the new home rule charter that could change how the district is run. KERA's Bill Zubel reports this task may seem simple, but isn't.
State law says trustees have 30 days to name 15 residents to the commission. They must reflect the racial, ethnic, socioeconomic, and geographic diversity of the district. Attorney David Thompson, hired by the school board to help with the process, says that won't be easy.
Because here's the real issue. Dallas is such a large district and is so diverse. How do you appropriately reflect that in only 15 commission members?
Then there's the question of what's meant by district. Does it mean the student population, which is 70% Hispanic and more than 25% African American? Or is it registered voters? Or residents of voting age, where Hispanics are 40%, Anglos a third, and African Americans about a quarter of the total. Board member Dan Michke says lawmakers made it complicated.
The way this statute is written, there's a high probability that we are going to have litigation, because almost any conceivable process that we come up with is going to be subject to some kind of arguable challenge.
State law says board members must pick commission members by Monday, June 23rd. 263 people have applied so far. Bill Zubel, KERA News.
A gay Republican group hopes to change the way its party's platform addresses homosexuality. The Texas GOP has blocked the group from having a booth at its state convention, which begins in Fort Worth next Thursday. KERA's Shelley Koffler says the battle comes as more states and Republicans have accepted gay marriage.
When the Metroplex Republicans signed up to sponsor a booth at the state GOP convention, there didn't seem to be a problem. Then party officials realized the group is mostly gay and associated with the log cabin Republicans. So party officials sent the registration money back.
They were billed on their website as being a local affiliate of the national organization that was promoting gay marriage. Platform is for traditional marriage.
That's State Republican Chairman Steve Monasteri. He says the party's policy is to deny convention space to groups that oppose major positions in the state party platform. In this case, the party's opposition to gay marriage. Rudy Eftering says Metroplex Republicans wanted the booth because it would have given them an opportunity to break down barriers with some conservative members in their party.
We're maybe the first openly gay person they've ever spoken to in their life. And once you put a face with a stereotype, the stereotype collapses.
Chairman Monasteri says the group will still have a chance to do that.
As a delegate and alternate, they can pass out whatever literature they want to pass out. They can go to platform committees. They can talk on the floor. If they don't like the policy, they can work to change the policy.
And changing policy and the party platform may be what Eftering and Metroplex Republicans are really after. They want to convince party delegates to drop language that states the practice of homosexuality tears at the fabric of society and contributes to the breakdown of the family.
I've known men who have adopted their nephews from their crack-addicted sisters. Now, how that breaks down the family is beyond my imagination.
While Munisteri defends the party's support for traditional marriage, he says the platform's language could be more kind.
I think it could be worded better.
But convincing activist Republicans who approve that language to eliminate it will be a battle.
When a culture descends to the point where homosexuality is openly accepted as a normal behavior, then a society is well on its way to demise.
That's Kathy Adams of Texas Eagle Forum. She believes the party's platform currently reflects a position that's biblical. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
The state Democratic Party said it would be happy to give the gay groups convention space, but Eftering said he turned them down. He's still a Republican. Authors, publishers, and book lovers are in New York right now for Book Expo America. It's the place to get the scoop on the books that will be hot through the end of the year. Think producer Stephen Becker has been at the expo this week. He joins us on the line now. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Justin.
So, for those unfamiliar with the Book Expo, what happens there?
Well, BEA takes over most of the Javits Center, which is the big convention center on the west side of Manhattan, and it's mostly centered on getting the word out about upcoming books. I mean, there's some business of the publishing world that happens here, but it's really a big marketing tool for the publishing industry.
It's got to be a lot of books.
Yeah, I mean, every big publisher and a lot of small ones has a booth on the showroom floor, and there are also more than 750 authors here signing books. There are really well-known authors like Carl Hiaasen and R.L. Stine. Actors like Jane Lynch and B.J. Novak and Angelica Houston are here talking about everything from memoirs to children's books. And then there are first-time authors that publishers are trying to build buzz for.
Is there any particular books being talked about this year?
Well, with this many publishers, I find it's actually tough for one book to really rise above the noise. But on Wednesday, I went to the editor's buzz panel where eight editors at different publishing houses talked for 8 minutes each about an upcoming book that they are excited about. And they were mostly novels, but a nonfiction book called On Immunity, An Inoculation, which looks at the scientific and cultural history of immunization. It sounded really interesting, and it seems like one that's going to be really timely given this ongoing debate about vaccinations.
And what about Texas authors? Who's representing?
Well, there are two notable books, one nonfiction and one fiction. And of course, the nonfiction book is Wendy Davis's memoir, which is out in September. And I talked to one of the publicists with Penguin, who's publishing the book, and it's going to focus mostly on her personal story as opposed to her political career. Now, of course, the timing of its release in September dovetails nicely for her, since her gubernatorial campaign will be in high gear at that point. And the other local book of note is the debut novel by Denton author Merritt Tierce. Her book is called Love Me Back, and it follows a young waitress who lives pretty hard while trying to sort her life out. Tierce signed copies of the book yesterday at her publisher's booth, that's Doubleday, and afterwards I asked her a little bit about why she decided to set the book in Dallas.
Well, Dallas is an interesting place, and it's not, I don't think it's been written about that much because it kind of lives in the stereotypes about it that are out there. And a lot of those come from things that you can find in Dallas that are really there. But there's, you know, as with any big metropolis, there's a whole lot more to be written about in Dallas than I think you would guess at first glance.
The name of that book, again, is Love Me Back, and it's out in September.
Well, Stephen, it sounds like we'll have a lot of reading to do this year. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Justin.
For the evening, partly cloudy skies, a 20% chance rain with a low near 69. Tomorrow, much of the same, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of storms with highs in the mid-80s. 85 degrees in Dallas, 87 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.